Hey everybody, this is Aggie Radio with the Morning Word here.
Hey guys.
On 92.3 KBLU. We got your news on lock, and I'm Bo Lamb in the studio.
I'm Morgan Pratt.
I'm Catherine St. Clair.
And I'm Ashley Stilson.
So what do you say we get right down to it? I have a hot date with an open robe and some prescription pills later, so I think we just need to get through this as quick as possible. Glad you like. You want to ask me what I thought of this morning? You want to ask me what my prescription pills are?
What are your prescription pills?
One's called Forget It All, and it makes me forget about sending and receiving classified emails. So.
Okay. Well, good morning, Bo. That's way funny. I mean, I have a date tonight. I'm going to be filming the football game.
Nice.
Which is like a funny joke.
Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. That's like me. Well, if I filmed the football game, I wouldn't know what to look at because like I don't know how the sport works.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same game.
I'm like, so there's a person. I'll follow that person. They're on the field.
Yeah.
And then it turns out they're like, why is that one camera like following a... like ref around. Like, I don't know. I thought they looked different.
Wasn't that the quarterback? That was the quarterback,
yeah,
right?
If you stick with the tight shot of the football, yeah, I think you'll be okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I, so I'll just probably like take a wide shot. That's like, I've strategized and I'm just going to take a wide shot, basically, is what I'm saying.
I like that because I like to see the receivers running down the field and stuff. If you're watching on most TV programs, you only get half the game. So if you get a wide shot, you can see everything.
It's okay. I'm going to be on the least used camera and, like, the easiest to use. So, like, that's a bonus.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Can't complain about that.
Awesome.
Kat, who do you have a date with tonight?
What do you mean?
I have a date with filming. He has a date with an open robe and prescription pills.
Just the use. Going out with Emerson. That's not exciting. It's not exciting at all. I'm sorry.
All right, Ashley, who is your date?
Netflix tonight.
So. Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Which one?
So much variety.
Which?
I haven't decided yet.
Oh, okay.
Netflix really understands you in a way that no one really ever can. So.
Yep. It's true, though. No judgments.
So it's cold outside. What do we got going on today?
Yeah. So it's currently 40 degrees, and it's going to get up to, or it's actually currently 42 degrees. It's going to get up to 73. So we're looking a little bit more like home. Yeah, it's nice. I love it.
Well, I mean, despite like the freezing weather, tomorrow there's going to be a paddleboard and jousting tournament.
What?
At First Dam. Yeah, it looks super fun. People are just going to go and... It sounds exactly what it
They're
said.
Jousting on paddle boards?
Yeah.
Nice.
First Dam. It's going to be tomorrow. Anyway, I'm excited about that. There's also an interfaith service on Saturday, October 8th at the First Presbyterian Church. And what they do is the interfaith group here on campus, they go from like denomination and church to church each month. And so they go and they explore like a new religion and a new... place, and so that's gonna be cool. Also, the epic foam party will be tonight. Wait, is tonight the 16th?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. It'll be tonight at 8:30 p.m. at the Castle Manor.
Those are always fun.
Yeah, Charlie Puth will be here Friday, September 23rd, because he feels bad that he screwed us over at the end of the year. Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for getting sick. I mean, Hillary Clinton didn't screw us over. She worked through her sickness.
Yeah, she tried
to. She's also not an international singer.
Yeah, she didn't have to sing through the sore throat. She just had to talk.
That's true. So there are also people are donating things to Standing Rock. Aggies for Standing Rock here at USU. That's going on at the Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. So they're looking for camping supplies. And also, there is going to be the Aggies for Standing Rock March. That'll be Saturday, tomorrow, at the State Capitol. That'll be at 11 a.m.
Count me in. That sounds like a lot of fun.
So, Go Aggies.
Yeah, we mentioned already, but the Aggies are back in action against Arkansas State Red Wolves tonight. They're looking to bounce back after a disappointing loss to Southern California. It's going to be a big challenge for the Aggies because their star running back, Devontae Mays, may not be playing after his injury.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sucks. Also, the Aggies lost to them in 2013, but so far the Red Wolves are 0-2 on the season. So that's some events and local news we got going on. Should we move into...
This day in history?
It's a day in history.
Okay, so this day in history. In 1983, Arnold Schwarzenegger became a U.S. citizen.
Oh, yay! What?
Celebration.
A true American hero.
Yeah. So this is before he ran for president.
Yeah.
Did he run for president?
Yeah.
He ran for president.
Wait.
Governor.
He wanted to run for governor.
Just kidding. He wanted to run for president.
I was like, you can't remember. He was governor.
Yeah.
He was the governor of California for a while.
Hey,
there.
Look.
The California.
Well, as we've already covered in the show, we are very popular with the rich and powerful here. And obviously, he's listening to the show right now. So I'd just like to take a moment to personally talk to him. Hey, look. If Ted Cruz can do it, you can do it.
You want to see a Schwarzenegger president?
Sure, why not?
I am the president.
Republicans will vote for anyone who's been on a movie.
Oh, yeah. He seems like a nice enough guy. He doesn't give you the creeps like Ted Cruz does. I mean, it sounds good to me.
The Zodiac Killer?
This day also in history, in 2013, the Washington Navy Yard shooting, where a lone shooter, he opened fire in this naval yard and killed 12 people and injured 3.
Really?
That happened in 2013, yeah.
I don't even remember that.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
Oh my gosh, it was this big... I don't know, I guess it's not like the start of gun violence, but that's when it started really to escalate.
Really?
In the last few years,
yeah. It's a tipping point.
So, also, it's Nick Jonas's birthday. B.B. King's birthday.
Oh!
Hey, a little better.
And... James Cash Penny's birthday.
Of J.C. Penny.
Yeah.
Very cool. I don't know which one's Nick and which one's Joe Jonas. I'm kind of ashamed I even know those two names.
Wait, there are three, though. There's Nick, Joe, and...
Another one.
Oh, I forgot his name.
Wait, they're actually brothers? I thought that was just like a quirky thing. That's how they sold
Nick,
themselves.
Nick, Joe, and...
Look,
they're all in like separate bands.
They were after my time, you know? Like... I'd been through the boy band thing, and then they started, and I'm like, eh.
Who was your boy band? Did you have a...
Like, NSYNC.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I can get down to some NSYNC.
Because, like, they were popular until I was, like...
Kevin!
11 or 12?
Mm. Kevin.
Kevin.
Kevin, Nick, and Joe Jonas.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Is that the one who dated Demi Lovato?
I have no idea. Nobody
you
knows.
You think I keep up with that celebrity
We need to,
news.
Like, really... get on to our journalism here because we don't know. We need to really...
He did. I just looked it up, guys.
Okay. We're not lost, cause.
We'll be... I guess we should just start an Aggie entertainment tonight so that when we say stuff like this on the Aggie Morning Word, we'll know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because we have a
source.
Yeah. Ourselves.
Yeah.
We just do a 3-hour... Let's talk about all the celebrity gossip.
According to me.
My opinion.
This Hillary. Just in, a business major made a poor investment in his flat screen TV. Just on campus ET news. That'd be great.
Perfect.
All right. What about today's the word of the day?
Yeah. So the word of the day is kind of interesting. It's tog. And it means to dress, especially in fine clothing, usually used with up or out. The history of tog is a true rags-to-riches tale that begins with the slang of vagabonds and thieves, specifically the noun togman, an old and now obsolete slang word meaning cloak. In the early 18th century, the noun tog, a shortened form of togman, was being used as a slang word for coat, and before the century's end, the plural form togs was being used to mean clothing. The verb tog debuted shortly after togs and was immediately in style as a word for dressing up.
Ooh.
You may be wondering if there's a connection between tog and toga, and if so, you're on the right track.
Oh, I thought there's a connection between dog and tog. So that makes more sense.
Yeah, I remember...
Not me dressing like a dog.
If you read older books, that word's used quite a lot. I think in, like, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, they say tog a few times. For some reason, I remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So.
That's a nerd.
I may be completely wrong. Just breaking an apparent accidental gas explosion Friday. Oh, that's not breaking. That is breaking.
Friday.
That's today.
Today.
Bo lost track of when he was.
I'm glad it's Friday. But anyway.
Happens to all time travelers.
Yeah, okay. Gas explosion, Paris. 14 people are injured. Most have light injuries, but they're not really sure what caused the explosion. They're still trying to search for other possible victims.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. We're jumping into international news. Yemen's war-raged coast... In Yemen, the UN estimates there are about 100,000 children under the age of 5 living in the city of Hollandaise, and their surrounding province are at risk of severe malnutrition. Guys, 100,000 children are at risk of severe malnutrition in one city.
It's painful.
Wow, that's crazy.
And this is Yemen.
Yemen.
Wow.
Yeah, you just hear about it. It's everywhere. There's just so many things happening in the world.
It's not that there's not enough food. There's enough food go around. It's that the power dynamics, it's that nobody's sharing the food.
Yeah, it's difficult to get it to where it needs to be.
Well, I don't know if that's the same case in our next news. In Venezuela, there is a resort island in Venezuela that was devastated by economic crisis right now. Margarita Island's swimming pools are empty, the toilets don't flush, and many hotels can't afford to offer meal service.
Huh.
So I don't know if that's a power play or if it's just economic downfall.
Yeah, and that's interesting because all the political chaos that's been going on may have a change of government, things like that, looks like in Venezuela.
And Jimmy Buffett is so sad right now.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Buffett doesn't know what to do with his life.
So brain cancer is now the leading childhood cancer killer. And while that sounds incredibly terrifying on first blush, what this actually is good news for all of the other previous cancers that were leading causes of death for children. Due to advancements in leukemia treatment over the past few decades, and because leukemia is easier than brain cancer to treat, now brain cancer is the highest. So that's
wow. It's actually a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the way the headline reads, it sounds bad, but you could definitely give it a good spin. It's like we've really taken leukemia out. It was, you know, a leading cause of death. It was really terrible.
Wow.
Even in our childhood, so.
Yeah, I knew several kids from my school who had leukemia. But yeah, it seems like you don't see as much anymore. So, I mean, good news on that front. What else do we got today?
What's going on in our nation?
Our nation? All right. We all heard about Hillary Clinton's little pneumonia scare. Supposedly unthinkable took place, and Clinton was forced, for health reasons, to step down as the Democratic presidential nominee. Who do you think Democrats should take her place? The latest Rasmussen poll reports national 48% of likely Democratic voters believe Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Clinton's primary rival, should be their party's nominee.
Do it! Do it! Do it! Wait! Clinton, please die!
Oh, man.
Whoa, that got dark.
But only 22% think Joe Biden, and only 14% think Tim Kaine, the actual vice president, who would succeed her. If people don't really like him, they'd rather have Bernie Sanders. So.
I like
who
him.
Who is he?
Don't like him as a politician. He's a lovely human being. He would be like a great Catholic bishop or like something other than a politician.
Like advisor.
Yeah,
USU. It's just like a nice guy.
Be a nice guy.
Really
and go
nice guy. Really, Joe Biden too. Really nice guy.
Joe
terrible
Biden's
president.
A little bit more. I don't know. Exciting.
Joe.
Yeah,
Joe's fun.
I feel like Tim Kaine, like his speech at the DNC was so funny. He's just like such like a cute little like old man who's like trying to be funny, but like has never been funny in his whole life.
He's got the ultimate dad
joke.
See,
that's why it's endearing.
Yeah, Tim. Yeah, no, that's it. Tim Kaine reminds me of the American father, like the ideal American father, as
that's
we have,
what it
like
is.
In stories and such.
And Joe Biden is like the American strange uncle.
Yeah. I have a lot of those. you think about your family and you're like, try to think about like who's like the crazy cousin. And then I can't think of any crazy cousins.
It's you.
Which means, exactly.
Yeah.
Which means I'm the crazy cousin.
Yep. That's how that works.
So, okay.
Oh no, I'm the crazy cousin too. Oh no. Well, just in comparison.
Yeah. Comparatively, I'm crazy.
Yeah, I'm not a football player, so
right.
I'm the crazy one.
I don't get to be what you.
Yeah. You are
crazy. That would.
In other news, breaking very serious news, Trump is now saying he believes Obama was born in the U.S.
What? No, I think that's false.
Despite a statement to the effect of his campaign spokesman, the GOP presidential hopeful has yet to confirm it himself.
So his spokesman said it and not him?
Yeah.
Trump's never really taken a position, but he's always been like, he might
wasn't
not
he,
have been born
wasn't
here.
Wasn't he asking Obama to share his birth certificate?
He's sort of alluding to it.
That's
Trump never
thing.
Ever really says anything too directly. He's like, yeah.
Well, he says it directly, and then as soon as he gets done, he like pauses for a second, and he's like, and cut. And then he says the exact opposite.
Right. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
He's talking directly to the cameraman. He looks at the camera and he's like, and cut. And now I'm going to say the exact opposite of what I just said. And you guys can use whichever clip you like.
Yeah. True. And then like just the crazy things he says, is like that one that'll haunt him forever. Is, you know, they're murderers. They're rapists. And I assume they're good ones. Like an afterthought. Jeez.
I loved that one where he was like, well, if I build a 100-foot wall, how are they going to get over it? I mean, sure, they get a 110-foot ladder. But then, like, how are they going to get down? And then he's like, I guess they could use a rope.
Yeah, exactly. Like, his mind works how mine does. It's just, like, rolling.
Like,
he says everything he thinks.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
We need to come up with a top 10, like, statements from Trump.
Yeah, we can
that just Trump everything.
Play it straight, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Trump everything.
Number one, I have words. The best words. I have the best words.
I have a brain. It's a very good brain. My brain is good. He said that as well.
Okay, so 24 of the most outrageous D. Trump quotes. We'll choose just the 10 best. Hold on, I have to make this bigger because I can't see anything.
Should we come
your
back?
Glasses.
Can we read another story?
They're dirty.
It?
Yeah.
All right.
An extremely credible source has called my office and told me that Barack Obama's birth certificate is a fraud. I told you that was a thing.
Okay. All right.
I didn't even look for that. That was just a coincidence.
Right at the top.
Okay. Robert Pattinson should take back Kristen Stewart. She cheated on him like a dog and will do it again. Just watch it. He can do much better. He's obviously a team.
Why is he weighing in on that?
These are probably his early morning tweets we're reading. Late night thoughts.
Ariana Huffington is unattractive, both inside and out. I fully understand why her former husband left her for a man.
Says everything we want to say.
Oh my gosh.
Guys, this is good. You know, it really doesn't matter what the media write, as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of ass. All of my fellow journalists in here.
We're looking at you, Bo.
Maybe, yeah.
Bo is like bright red right now. Okay. I will build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me. Believe me. And I'll build the wall very inexpensively. I will build a great, great wall at our southern border, and I will make Mexico pay for that wall. Mark my words.
So, a fun little fact. Donald Trump is actually old Naruto. just because, and I know probably most of you guys haven't actually seen Naruto, but his catchphrase.
There are like 500 episodes.
Well, yeah, I know. I can't even, anyway, it's impenetrable. But that being said, his catchphrase is believe it. And that is totally Donald Trump. He's always like, believe me. I got this, believe me. Yeah, as crazy as this idea sounds, I got it, believe me. And it's exactly like Naruto. It sounds like a quote. I could swear that was from an episode.
There'll be a big, beautiful door in that wall, believe me. Beautiful. Just a massive door in the wall there. It's going to open periodically.
No, in order to open it, you have to, like, eat, like, the mushroom from, right? From Alice in Wonderland and get big. And then you would just open the door. And then if you want to sneak through, you drink the potion and slip through the keyhole.
Dun, dun.
See,
dun,
don't you guys just want to, like, listen to this for, like, the next 4 years? It's just, it'll just be great for this show.
That's true. The show, comedy would be
just sound
at
bites.
Its primest. Primest.
But, its prime.
But, I mean, think about, like, late night television with Bill Clinton as the first dude.
Yeah.
It will be so funny.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Trump also said, our great African president, or African-American president, hasn't exactly had a positive impact on the thugs who are happily and openly destroying Baltimore.
Yeah, that's probably true, actually.
What does that have to do with the president?
Well, I think Obama has one of my favorite, what's the NPR thing called? StoryCorps, where it's where some kid interviewed Obama, and this kid was like, hey, like, he was like a black kid and grew up and didn't have a father and like looked toward Barack Obama, president of the United States, to like be the father. Even though they didn't know each other at the time. And so I think Obama hopefully has been an icon to at least some people. And so I think that's what Trump is referring to.
If I were to go ahead.
Yeah. No, if Tim Kaine is like the ideal movie father, Obama's the super cool neighbor who you wish was actually your dad. Cause he's yeah. the coolest guy in the world.
Except for my dad's actually Seriously. The coolest guy in the world. So,
well, lucky for you. Okay. Oh, just rub that all in our faces.
Doesn't it kind of seem like Obama's sort of been divisive, though? Like, he sort of talks down to people, don't you think?
Yeah,
like,
totally. Totally.
He thinks it's pretty hot stuff.
See, but I get that, because I do that, too.
Yeah, okay. As long as Kat gets it, it's all right.
Just because we're all superior, or we're all imperior?
Inferior.
Yeah.
You got it.
Thanks, guys. Ashley and Kat are here to edit every word I say. Okay. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
We're your editors.
Yeah. Thanks.
Just an instant edit. Very nice.
Okay, so Trump says, if I were running The View, I'd fire Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, look at her right in the big, fat, ugly face of hers, and I'd say, Rosie, you're fired.
He's going to have the nuclear missile goads.
And then there's one more. All of the women on The Apprentice flirted with me. Consciously or unconsciously. That's to be expected.
Consciously or unconsciously.
With their physical being.
That is just great.
Or without their physical being. Some way, somehow, I believe in my heart of hearts that some part of their consciousness was attracted to me.
And who can blame them, really?
Like, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I like that confidence.
Have you seen, there are pictures of, like, Donald Trump if he was, like, photoshopped?
Nice.
And it's kind of weird. You're like, oh, yeah. He's got it going on. Okay, so should we move on with our news?
Yeah, should we get back into some news here? Miami, the only U.S. city confirmed to have mosquitoes carrying the Zika virus. The residents say they'd rather be bitten and exposed to droplets of the chemicals that are being sprayed from planes to kill the bugs. Public sentiment in Miami.
Wow.
It's a big risk.
You wonder what's in that stuff.
You know you do, especially since it smells really bad. Every time I smell something that smells really bad, I think, oh no, it's the end.
Yeah, it smells like poison.
This is, yeah, thanks for killing me.
Right.
killing me.
So, Ashley, pipeline protest?
So, the encampment nearest the Standing Rock Soy Tribes Reservation became one of North Dakota's newest communities, with a school for dozens of children and a system to deliver water and meals. So.
And in the studio now, we have the College of Republicans and Democrats. So we're going to go to break while we get them set up. Let's see. What song should we play? Punk Rock Christmas?
Yes!
That sounds pretty good. All right, this is Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3. Here's Punk Rock Christmas. See you in a bit. Christmas right here on Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3, and streaming on aggieradio.com. We are here with the College Republicans and Democrats to have some debates. We have Syria and whatever else we feel like. So they wrote in the Utah Statesman. So check that out. And hey, guys, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. So who wants to start us off here? It's we'll start us off.
Great. So whoever read my article could see that my stance is obviously to let. We need to have a lot more refugees coming into the country. I mean, there's 4.8 million Syrian refugees who don't have a home right now, and we've let in 10,000 of them, which is far less than 1%. We are the wealthiest nation. We're not overpopulated by any means. We have the means to let these people in, and we should. There are the main argument against that would be for security reasons, letting terrorists into the country. But if you go and you look at the actual screening process for refugees, it's probably the toughest screening for any way to get into the United States. It's tougher than people immigrating. It's tougher than getting a visa. It's tougher than anything else that we have. So since 2000, we've had 800,000 refugees come to the United States, and only three of them have been connected to terrorists who have all been arrested. So.
Mm-hmm. You want to respond to that?
Yeah, so...
This is Colton.
Yeah, I'm Colton. So, I mean, I understand your point, obviously. I'm not against refugees at all. Like, I'm not against refugees. I absolutely love... I actually know a lot of refugees from the Congo, which is another war-torn country. And you make that point of just a few actually linked to ISIS. I guess my main point against that is what, like, you think about what happened with 9/11 and how many terrorists were actually on those airplanes. Like, not many at all, right? So they took over and it caused this huge catastrophe, this huge problem within our country. And look what Bill Clinton had actually done prior to that with the Middle East, and he had done almost nothing. So you look at this buildup. It was 8 years through Bill Clinton's term, probably even longer. If you go back, there's probably a huge history, even further back there. And we have, it's been 15 years since that, and we've obviously had some warfare, but I feel like we have to do something to control completely these refugees, because we don't want even a few getting in that are linked to ISIS. Plus, there's already members of ISIS linked in our country, so when they come together, it's going to be even worse. It doesn't even take a lot. It could just be a few to cause a big problem.
So two things. One, I don't think it's fair to blame Bill Clinton for 9/11, first of all. I don't, I mean, come on. sorry. Secondly, like I said, I have it on my phone. The screening process for terrorists, if they wanted to come to this country, faking being a refugee is the last way they'd want to go. Most of these refugees are women and children. They're not men. Most of the men are out fighting. out of all the ways that terrorists could come here, refugees is like last on their list. Believe me.
Yeah, I've actually helped someone file that paperwork, and it is very extensive. And also, the language in it is incredibly difficult on purpose, difficult to understand, and translate into different languages. And it was something that, you know, I'm a writer, and I had to look a lot of words up in the dictionary because they used words that were, you know, particularly arcane. So,
one thing I wanted to respond to something that you said earlier. So several economists think that the number of immigrants we allow into our country year to year, it's more than, usually more than a million. And considering we only have about 320 million people in our country, it's a fair amount of the population coming in year to year, that our cities won't be able to sustain that for much longer, because there is actually a large unemployment rate amongst these legal immigrants who are coming in 1 million a year. So there are some economists who think it may be difficult.
Okay, well, I think we have to make a distinction between immigrants and refugees. Because refugees are here temporarily, and immigrants are here to stay. If they want to stay here more than a year, they have to file for a green card, and that's a whole nother security process. So we're not...
Right.
Like I said, 10,000 Syrian refugees is...
It wouldn't really make too much
fairly
of a dent.
Insignificant.
Yeah. So I want to go back a little bit, too. So I spent a good time in Illinois where, like I said, I met refugees from the Congo. What they had done before in between the Congo and coming to the U.S. is they were in refugee camps in Tanzania for about 14 years. So in other words, a safe zone, right? What Trump's looking to do in Syria and those other war-torn countries in the Middle East. And the thing about that is when they came to the U.S., there was one in particular. He was a college professor over in Tanzania. Great job. Great. Actually had a pretty comfortable lifestyle. But so many people want to come to the U.S., so they come, and he had to work a factory job. And I love him, like one of my favorite people on this planet. I'm not, like I said, I'm for refugees. I love all the members from the Congo I met. But at the same time, I don't know if, as far as jobs go, that was the best move for him, because he actually had a great job, great comfortable lifestyle in Tanzania, where he was away from the civil wars in the Congo.
So Colton, how many refugees should we be allowing in? Are you like none whatsoever, or what's your stance on that?
So I wouldn't put a number to it. I mean, like you're saying, the screening process, if it is as tough as you're saying, then great. But at the same time, I feel like there's a lot of lack of documentation in those countries. A lot of the more torn countries don't have good documentation. Plus, I would like to, this is, I mean, more opinion, I would like to think probably if ISIS is as smart as they've already proven, they're not going to document everyone they have. They're not everyone's going to pledge to ISIS verbally or document it. So they're going to be able to sneak in different ways. There's going to be ties that will come in otherwise.
You do understand that the people who are not documented are not allowed in the country. So that's part of the screening process. So if people have no papers, if they say, I don't have an identity, let me in. They're not coming in.
I'm not saying complete no documentation. I'm just saying, are you really think everyone from ISIS is going to say they pledged to ISIS and have document behind that, or have any actual ties so far, or they may just have those ideas?
Of course, smarter. Of course not. But you look at. I mean, I don't think if you were a refugee, or if I was a refugee, and we had to go through this process. You know, and I talked about in my article, a different way maybe we should be combating ISIS is through, you look at people who come to this country on like student visas, who have visited Syria and Iraq within the past 5 years. Those are ways that terrorists could come to this country, not through faking a refugee. It's just being a refugee. It's just not feasible, I guess.
Feasible. They were for... assaults in Germany having to do with Syrian refugees, and a bomb exploded.
I can't speak for Germany, so
yeah. Germany has a different process of,
well, I'd say it's feasible that something like that could happen. Yeah.
And look how many they've let in and how much has happened. They've let in, what you said, 400,000.
Yeah.
And how many issues have been caused over there. So if we've let in 10,000 and have a tough screening process, it's probably because of the screening process why we've only let in 10,000.
Right. I think an important thing to note here is also proximity. Germany is literally a walk away. I mean, a very long walk, but remember, that's how the Crusades happened. People from Germany walked down to Syria, not even on horses, right? So it's a very different situation than having an entire ocean and literally being on the opposite end of the planet than us. It's very difficult for people to just walk over here. So who knows if those were refugees or, you know, again, you can't speak for their screening process.
Well, they can walk all over Europe and then come here. I mean, the borders in Europe are pretty open, so.
Well, something else I think is worth mentioning that I mentioned in my article is feeding into ISIS narrative that we are this evil capitalist, you know, just monarchy that hates Muslims, that hates anyone different from them. ISIS saying, look, we're the good guys here. You know, come to us. We have resources. You know, we'll help you. Join us. Because the U.S. doesn't want you. You know, they're saying, let's ban all Muslims. We have to figure out what is going on. You know, when we have people saying something like that, it feeds into their narrative. They grow stronger every time. They become more radicalized every time something like that happens.
Hannibal, who almost conquered Rome, used the same tactic. He had a very, 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 very small army, and he essentially made the people of Rome think, hey, you know what? The Roman Senate doesn't have our best interests in mind. And that's exactly what ISIS is profiting from. So.
But ISIS has also said that they would manipulate the refugee system to get into the West. That's been documented, that's been quoted. That's where scares me, is if they're saying that's what they're going to do, that's what they're going to do. So, I mean, like I said, I'm not against refugees at all, but I do think we need to make sure we're smart about what we're doing, because manipulate means they'll find ways to get in. Like, whether it's through the refugee, that's what they said they're going to do, is through the refugee system.
Well, first of all, I mean, we can't take everything ISIS says as literal. I think that, I mean, I'm not saying they're idiots, but, you know, we that's at that point we're succumbing to terrorism. At that point, you know, we have to, at a certain point, we have to say, look, we're going to hold to our standards. We're going to hold to what we want to do. And we're not, I don't think by letting in refugees, I don't think we're lowering our security standards at all, in my opinion.
Now what?
there's some interesting city planning stuff. And I kind of wanted to bring it up because it's something that I used to be a landscape architecture major.
Are we talking about the city council and how even though most of them are Republicans, but none of them actually use their values in their own decision-making processes? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm actually bringing this back into refugee things.
Oh.
This is, so I'm a Democrat, and yeah, we could talk about that. But I think the issue is that this is a very real thing where cities need a steady influx of people at the right amount. And so that's one of the considerations with the refugees. And that's one of the reasons why we've let so few in, is because it has to be done oftentimes at the city level, and cities have to let a certain number of people in at a time that they can handle, and, you know, that they have infrastructure for. So it's a very complex process on that end. And I feel like that's a lot of where things are getting gummed up right now. So.
Yeah, and Salt Lake City is one of the designated cities for refugees to come in, because we have a fairly good economy that can support, so it's an issue that hits close to home.
Yeah, let me give props to Governor Herbert, by the way, on saying he wants refugees in Utah. I don't give props to Republicans very often, but that's one of them, so kudos to him.
That's why Governor Herbert has one of the highest gubernatorial ratings in, like, the entire country. Like, 76% of people love that guy.
Still in Utah. Still vote for Mike Weinholz.
There's a gubernatorial debate with Weinholz and Herbert coming here.
I'm going to
weeks.
That. It's going to be great.
Fine Arts Building. So which everybody day? Check that out. I think it's the 23rd, but don't.
No, it's the 26th. 26th. Yep. So. 5 o'clock.
I'm glad we have you here.
Do we have to get tickets?
Yes. So you can see Dr. Can in the Political Science Office Department in Old Main, third floor. I believe he has a limited number of tickets left, but I think they're free. I think he's giving them away. So yeah. If you're interested, please go talk to him.
And they have a website. There's posters around, so look for those and get on the website. Look for Ken, you said, Dr. Ken. And, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And, I mean, I don't think Weinholz has a chance, but it'll be fun to have him debate.
We don't talk about these things.
One step at a time, Bo. One step at a time. Well, cool.
So, do you guys have any events going on this semester in the next couple weeks you guys have planned?
Yeah, so after the gubernatorial debate, the Democrats are hosting a watch party in Old Main 225. It starts at 7. It's going to be great. I mean, obviously, this is a very important. It's the first debate. It's going to be huge.
Huge.
It's going to be huge. But, yeah, but come by Old Main 225. Looking for a packed house. I'm sure we'll invite the Republicans to come as well. But yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're partnering on it.
Yeah,
so.
There's just an open Facebook page that is inviting everyone. It looks.
Yeah,
like.
that was the Democrats' Facebook page. Yeah. Who's doing that.
Yeah, it was me. You guys are. Yeah, good job.
Thank you. we're trying. Okay, we're trying.
No, that'll be like primetime TV. I can't wait. So.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how this debate is going to go. I have no idea if Trump's tactics of just kind of, well, I guess either of them of really kind of ignoring the question and just
well, that's a down. Typical politician right. thing. Yeah, ignore the question, answer yeah. the question you wanted to right. have asked.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you think Gary Johnson has even a sliver of chance to make
no,
it
he doesn't.
Debate?
No,
no he
way.
Doesn't. That's
no
not going to happen.
No.
I don't think so. Not this cycle, anyways.
Well, I think, like, the rule is he has to pull 15%. If he's not pulling 15%, we shouldn't let him in, because that's our rule. That's the rule of the debate, so why break that rule just for him?
Right now, unless something drastic happens with one of the candidates that puts a a spike in the polling, I don't think he has a chance. Right now, what is he sitting at, 10%, 9%? Around there?
He's about 9%.
So, Bo, it's okay. When we host the presidential debate, our presidential debate in the end of October, when we do the Halloween presidential debate here at USU, we'll invite him just for you, okay?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. I'll tweet at Hillary and see if we can get this going. I don't know.
Yeah. Like I said, he has about less than a million in campaign funds right now, which I mean you can tell that's really not that much. So I mean, he doesn't have the funding to get his name out. That's just the end of the story, really.
Yeah, I wish Rand Paul ran as a libertarian. I think he'd be hitting like 25% right now. But
what ifs, right?
Yeah.
What ifs?
What ifs? Should we go into quirky news? Do we have anything quirky? I had something about Bigfoot. Okay, so in Provo, there's a sighting of Bigfoot.
Wait a second.
In Provo?
In Provo,
Provo
Utah.
Utah.
Yeah.
There's a sighting of Bigfoot.
Okay, so I have to say, right, not a Utah native. There's something I heard regarding Bigfoot, a local myth regarding it, is that this is Cain, right?
Yeah,
Cain. That's the Mormon belief.
Yeah.
That he is Cain. He's marked. He smells bad, and blah blah blah. It's Bigfoot is actually Cain.
Yeah,
of Cain and Abel fame.
Could be.
Yep, I've heard that. I've definitely heard that before.
But yeah, the picture is halfway convincing. Halfway. So
all
check
right.
that out online. Another quirky news: New England's leading breweries will compete October 1st. To see who can turn the questionable water of Boston's Charles River into the tastiest suds.
Nice.
The water's not even clean to drink, but if you boil, that's how they used to survive. They would drink beer. So,
In other news, there is a golden toilet.
There is one.
A solid golden toilet.
A solid gold toilet. Is it in the Trump
18
Tower?
18-carat toilet. Yeah. So there's it's created by an Italian artist, Maurizio Cattelan. It was featured fully functional bog in the Guggenheim Museum in New York. The sculpture of his work, America, it replaces the traditional porcelain lavatory with a single unisex lavatory. Catalan says his interactive exhibit is about how ultimately reminding us the inescapable physical realities of our shared humanity. I
speak I like for that yourself, last line. Mate.
In other news, let's jump into some other news. A company says your astrology sign could determine the way you use the bathroom. So, Bo, what's your astrology sign?
Scorpio.
You're a Scorpio?
So yeah. You just, like, hit it hard.
So, according to this, a Scorpio, I'm also a Scorpio. So, we're bathroom agoraphobic. Huh. With a distaste of crowds, the first to turn around and wait in the bathroom to clear out before they doing their business.
I am, yeah. I get shy.
That's everyone.
But if waiting is not the option, Scorpios will always go for the corner stall.
What we got?
That's fairly accurate.
That's true, too, for me.
What do we got on Libras?
Libras. Hold on. Libras are... Guys, finding Libras. Don't worry. This is just me. Did you see it anywhere? Oh, okay. So the peace seeker. While Libras like the company of a bathroom buddy, they prefer to take care of their business in a quiet atmosphere, preferably with a book in hand.
That's terrifying. phone. That's the modern equivalent. Right. Phone. With your phone in
Who
your
doesn't
hand.
Take their phone in, though? That's,
I know. Do, too.
Right. Yeah, it's
okay.
A little awkward.
So Brad's birthday. Brad's here in the studio.
Hi.
He's here. He's a,
hey, Brad.
He's an earth lover. Because he's an Aquarius. So with the eco-friendly attitude, Aquarius make sure their bathroom habits don't harm the environment. They're conservative flushers and prefer to use recycling toilet paper.
That is not me. But I can tell you there must be a lot of Aquariuses in the biology building. I have cleaned up and used restrooms and it's terrible. It's, yeah.
Double
yeah, they're
flush.
Trying to save
flush.
The environment. That's
do they also like use menstrual cups instead of they're much more sustainable.
Yeah, but a little bit don't get me started on the menzy cups. I super hate them.
Yeah, they're a bit weird.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Well, anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to the Aggie Morning Word podcast.
I'm Bo.
I'm Morgan.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Brad.
Yeah, that's Brad. See you guys later.
Come back Monday.